China today, where he has been talking about increasing trade with that country. The Prime Minister did not make a public statement about China's human rights record, but had a list delivered stipulating specific violations he wants addressed. In the past, Martin has said that the trade relationship with China will not get in the way of trying to bring about improved human rights.
Well, to talk about that, we've reached Charles Burton. He is a former economic and political affairs counselor with the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. Charles Burton also teaches political science now at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, first of all, can you talk about the major concerns the world has with respect to China's human rights record?
Well, I mean, there's so many, but if you measure it by the United Nations Human Rights Covenants, which is the benchmark for this sort of thing, China doesn't have freedom of expression. The press is not free there. They don't have freedom of belief. There are a number of religious groups that are banned in China. They don't allow people to freely associate and form their own organizations. There's lack of rule of law. There are a number of people that the Canadian government feels are in Chinese prisons, and wrongly so. And labor rights are not properly respected, and, you know, there are accusations of police torture and brutality. The list just goes on and on.
And it's a list that goes back a number of years, and at various times, whether it's a new prime minister or due to political influences at home, Canada says we're going to work towards getting China to ease up on some of its restrictions. And it seems to me like those efforts haven't been very successful.
Well, I think the main motive for change in China is going to come within China, and we do the right thing. We raise these cases of concern. There was a list of cases given by Canadian Ambassador to China, Joseph Caron, to the Chinese authorities, and we don't know what they'll do with it. Maybe they'll file it, maybe they'll shred it, maybe they'll, you know, hopefully look into it and see what our concerns are. And Canada has a number of development programs in China designed to promote human rights. The senior judges training program is a prominent one. We have programs where we have been funding legal aid centers in China, programs to support NGOs, women's groups, environmental groups, and, you know, all sorts of areas in which we try and show the Chinese people how we do things in Canada, and hope that they will adopt our ways and come more into compliance with the universal norms of human rights. So, but, you know, we're a small country, and our resources that we can devote to this are necessarily limited, and China is a huge country, and so I think that most of what we're doing is probably more symbolic than really meaningful in changing things in China.
Is there a nation out there that has more influence that could bring about the kinds of changes we'd like to see?
Well, the nation that has the most influence in this area is the United States. We have a dialogue process with China on human rights, and I think ours is a bit more pro forma. When the United States has a human rights dialogue with China, higher level people are involved, and I think they discuss meatier issues. And the United States is also very active in the United Nations Human Rights Commission meetings, which are every year in Geneva, and tries to encourage nations to sign on to a resolution to expose the Chinese human rights abuses. So, you know, in terms of which country is going to get its telephone calls returned on human rights by the Chinese government, the U.S. is much more likely than a relatively minor player like Canada.
When you have things going on the way, just like right now with the Prime Minister visiting China, some people say you shouldn't visit and try to open up trade until the human rights record improves. Others say, well, if you increase your trade in the area, you will increase your influence, and then you can get your political points across. What do you think's the right way?
Well, I think if we engaged in, say, trade sanctions against China, this wouldn't have a great deal of positive impact. We need them a lot more than they need us, and I don't think there's much that we offer that they couldn't obtain elsewhere. With regards to the second one, I guess that there's some truth in it, that China trading more is going to open the society, and by entering the World Trade Organization, China has committed itself to enforce the rule of law so that contracts can be better maintained. That's got to be a good thing. But I think in general it's hard to establish a link between trade and how the Chinese government treats its own citizens domestically. The two seem to be pretty much unrelated, and China's engaged in openness in trade now for quite a number of years, and we haven't seen the commensurate improvements in the political realm that we might have expected. So I think that, as Deng Xiaoping used to say, seek the truth from facts and you realize that these two don't really go together that well.
But is it wrong for a country like Canada that prides itself on its Charter of Rights and Freedoms, is it wrong to really try to seek so much trade with a country like China?
Well, you know...
I mean, it might be good for business, but morally, you know.
Yes, I think that there are moral issues there, but, you know, Canadian consumers want the cheapest product and the best quality, and that's coming out of China now, and the fact is that we have a very large trade deficit with that country, and so there's pressure on the government to expand our trading relations. And, you know, frankly, governments respond to business interests to a very large extent, and you wonder if the concerns of Canadians are being taken as seriously as the concerns of the major corporations, such as the 344 businessmen accompanying Trade Minister Peterson to China on his tour. It seems that with regard to human rights, we've only had one person, which is the MP, Jason Kenney, who's been keeping the volume up on human rights, much to his credit, I think.
A very significant visit to a former, is it the president, the house he visited this morning?
Yes, the former Prime Minister of China, Zhao Ziyang, who died under a cloud because he wasn't seen as supportive of the Chinese government's crackdown on the 1989 massacre of students. Prime Minister Zhao had spoken to the Parliament of Canada in 1984, so I think it's very appropriate that a parliamentarian of Mr. Kenney's stature should go and pay his condolences to the family, even if the Chinese government clearly wouldn't have supported this action. It would have been really impossible for the Prime Minister to do the same. That would have led to a diplomatic incident that could have closed down a lot of our relations, including our democracy and human rights programming in China. But I say more power to Mr. Kenney for a courageous act.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much for your time this morning, sir.
Nice to talk to you.
Charles Burton is a former economic and political affairs counselor with the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He teaches political science at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario.
Is this a big day with Motley Crue getting back together? For you? No?
22 and a half. No, I could.
Just know, wondered. Okay.
That'd be right
big
up
reunion
there
tour there
new
now.
Kids
today.
On the Block reunion, as far as I'm concerned.
Here's a little music. No, it's not Motley Crue.
No.
Robert Wilson with Be My Habit.